To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
Guys, can you feel the buzz in the air? That's victory, redemption, power. When this old man dies, a new day begins. We will rule Gotham. We are building a dynasty. We will whip this town like a rented mule. Right, babes? Relax. I'm kidding you. Guys, no, seriously. Don't call her babes or toots or what have you. It's a woman's lib thing.
I am relaxed.
He's a bad man, but he's the best bad man we got. What do I have to lose? Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series Gotham, set in the world of Batman. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Amory V. Simone.
And we should redo that over again, but I'm not going to.
Man.
It's the finale episode.
Exactly.
You know, right up here up top, I think we should give ourselves a big pat on the back, because you know what? We have not missed one episode.
I know. This is a yoga stretch.
We've not been late. Any scheduling changes we've had to do.
We've had plenty of time.
We've scheduled well in advance. We've been here every, except for tonight, because it's Wednesday night tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say we're kind of lying.
But every Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com, which, by the way, there's a chat over there, too. Mm-hmm. Our chatters right now, we have Bobby and Morgan over there in the chat room at live.universebox.com.
Hey, Bobby!
Hope you guys can join us.
Bobby!
But yeah, we're here to talk about the finale, of course. but I just wanted to mention real quick, if we have any listeners out there who live in Anaheim or the Los Angeles area, I'm going to be out there this weekend, actually, doing a live version of our podcast or other fan cast, Greetings from Storybrooke, which is all about the ABC show Once Upon a Time. Obviously, if you don't watch Once Upon a Time, it might be a little weird for you.
You may not want to go to the con.
But if you want to meet me, if you want to, you know, see us do one of these podcasts live, unfortunately, Anne-Marie won't be there. But I'll have a couple of good guests with me, and we'll have a special video for Anne-Marie, too. To play at the thing. But I believe you can pick up a pass.
I thought that was a surprise.
Possibly. it's a surprise for the greetings people. Definitely, if you go to RegalCon.com, I think, or just Google
RegalCon. RegalCon2015.com.
RegalCon2015.com. You can get more information. I think you can pick up a one-day pass with just a general admission. Will get you into the panel if you want to check it out, if you're bored on Sunday or whatever.
You got nothing to do.
I'd love to meet you. And
you want to take Bill out for an In-N-Out burger so he doesn't have to walk? That'd be cool, too.
That would be awesome. Awesome. Okay, well, enough of trying to get me free fast food, or not free fast food, but free rides to fast food. Why don't we go ahead and do the rhyming, riddling episode summary, and then we'll go ahead and start talking about the finale.
All right.
Oh, and hi to Eve in the chat room.
Did you ever notice fishes love water? She lands bolted and ready with surrogate daughter. Does Barbara need mental help from Jim's gal? She's got too much crazy for Lee to corral. What men have secrets? Usually dads. Does Enigma's secret make him feel bad? When will the new king of Gotham strike? In the season finale, all happy families are alike.
All happy families
are alike. Next season, you're not going to do that.
I am.
You're going to learn.
All happy families are alike. What did you think of this episode overall? That's not a word. I still don't understand what emotion you felt about the episode. Nope. Still not understanding it.
Yes.
Okay, that's a little better.
It was good.
No, you
lots
liked
of
it?
Goodness.
Excellent.
Yes, very awesome.
Yeah, I really liked it too. A really strong episode. In some ways, the episode we were expecting.
Yes, it's the episode we were expecting. It was the episode that we needed. Mm-hmm. But it was done so well.
Yes, very, very well. Just so many great things to talk about in this episode. I guess we'll go ahead and get started here. One thing I wanted to talk about first of all, and this is something that has become more apparent. and I think really the writers have been figuring out as they go on, is I think at this point, Jim Gordon and Bruce Wayne are co-protagonists in this show.
Yes.
And hence, because of that, you know, they have a lot of parallels between them. Mm-hmm. And one of the big parallels that was hit really strongly, especially at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. was Dads with Secrets. And you know, obviously, we have the two parallels there. We have Bruce looking for his father's secret, mm-hmm. and Jim being told...
Being given his father's secret.
Or being told the truth about his father by Falcone, mm-hmm. there at the end. So, you know, Bruce, when he discovers that his dad has a secret, he's super pumped. If his dad has a secret life, as Lucius suggested to him, it would mean that Thomas Wayne wasn't a bad guy, which obviously Bruce wants him to be a good guy because he wants to be able to, you know, admire his dad even though he's right. dead and everything. So he's hoping whatever his father was hiding in the study there mm-hmm. Will make him a good guy again. So Bruce is approaching this from a positive perspective, where Jim, on the other hand, is learning that his father, who he'd presumed was a good man, still carried a knife. He still had his secret. He was a good man who had secrets, you know, just like Thomas. Mm-hmm. But over the course of the season, Jim Gordon's become kind of disillusioned because, you know, when he first rolled in there, he was very rubish, kind of like he accused that one officer of being with the salute at the beginning of this episode. You know, he was a very rubish, idealistic captain who was rolling in there to clean up the GCPD and everything. And now we see he's become more disillusioned and he's had to make more compromises just to survive in Gotham, to where at this point he's going to ensure that his guy is in charge of the mob because it's the best worst option, as he says.
His chosen mob guy is in charge of Gotham, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it's just interesting to see kind of that parallel where Jim, that's kind of bad news to Jim.
Yeah.
It's bad news to Jim, but at the same time, Jim's also sort of leaning that way himself. So, I mean, it might be good news, but it's just kind of interesting, you know. Bruce was thinking his father was a bad guy, then he realizes he's not, so he's happy and he's leaning into becoming who his father is, where Gordon thought his father was a good guy and learning that he wasn't quite a good guy, but he's also kind of leaning in the same direction that his father did, you know.
I actually kind of interpret this slightly different than you did.
Okay.
I didn't, yeah, everything with Bruce, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But with Jim, I actually think the knife was more comforting.
Uh-huh.
He may not respond to it that way now, mm-hmm. but it basically told Jim that his dad had to make very similar choices to what he's doing, and he was still a good guy.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely don't think, like, that's really disagreeing with my point.
Okay, though. Well, it's slightly different than your point, because you were thinking it was mm-hmm. more rough, but like...
Basically, what I was saying was that the revelation of the father's secrets made both characters realize that they were on the same path as their father.
Okay, that's not what you said earlier. Okay, because he was like, your father was an honest man, but he carried a knife, which in mm-hmm. a sense is kind of what Jim's been doing.
Yeah. Bobby in the chat room says, I wonder if Alfred knew more than he let on about Thomas Wayne. I think of Alfred was being honest.
I think those were legit. Morgan disagrees. She thinks Alfred knows everything.
Well, Alfred does know a lot.
He knows
things,
a lot. Definitely. But I don't think he knew this one.
And Bobby says, I think Alfred's dad was the Wayne's butler, so Thomas and Alfred may have grown up together, which...
That would make sense.
Yeah, in the original way that Alfred was introduced, I believe his dad's name was Jarvis, and he was mm-hmm. the Wayne butler, and shortly after the Waynes were killed, mm-hmm. Jarvis died too. I think the guy's name was Jarvis, and so Alfred had to...
Step it up.
Come over from London, where he was a actor / secret agent and take over caring for Bruce.
No,
I'm talking about in the comics.
Oh, I was
I'm not talking about on the show.
Not at all.
Yeah, this is like back in the 40s. That's how it went.
Oh, okay. That makes much more sense. I was like, no. No, I definitely don't think that Alfred knew any of that. I think those were some legit... Mm-hmm. Because he was like, no, nobody could bother him. When the music was hot, you don't go in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, he had no reason to hide that from Bruce, probably. I mean, I guess it depends on what the secret is.
Yeah, really. His look, though, at the very last, basically, frame, with the two of them looking down the cave, mm-hmm. for lack of a better
term. With the bat wings. Going...
I know! I was like, yes!
Hold
bats.
On, wait.
He just wanted to play with his board.
I did.
No, he looked seriously like, what the what am I looking at here? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know this was here, and I cleaned this whole house.
For sure. For
sure. So it was one of those types of things. Okay. So the GCPD. Mm-hmm. I've got many.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
You're familiar with it?
A little bit.
Good. Well, let's give a refresher. Okay, Mr. Jim. Why did he think he was dead in the water at the beginning of the episode? Was it because that he solved the crime that Loeb set him up to get killed on?
Well, I kind of got the impression that it was just because the whole mob war was going down and he knew that, you know, whatever power structure kind of shook out, mm-hmm. you know, he was going to get eliminated somewhere along the way because there are a lot of powerful people who are upset with what he's been doing, you know.
Okay.
That was the impression I got from it.
Interesting. But. Okay. See, I was just a little confused about that. Why did that one guy salute him? Did I miss something?
Well,
was it just like a sign of respect or just because it's not military?
I think. And this is something that Loeb tried to exploit a couple episodes ago. I think some of the younger cops on the force are starting to look up to Jim Gordon as a
guy
who's...
That was my thought, was are the younger and other police officers actually like starting to respect mm-hmm. him and want to help him
yeah.
clean up? Okay, so that sort of pulls that around.
I would also just like to say a twits tie in the chat room.
Twist tie?
Twist, or is it twits tie or twist tie? Very stoked for Enigma next season. Definitely.
Yes, we shall get there. Lee. Lee is the coroner. Coroners mm-hmm. deal with dead bodies. Why is she checking on a victim?
Well, she's not the coroner. She's the medical examiner. And remember, she used to work at Arkham Asylum.
Well aware of that. Okay, she's the medical examiner, which is the same thing as a coroner, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Well, I believe if nothing else, working at Arkham Asylum, she probably has to have some sort of certification for, you know, if nothing else, just interacting with mental health patients.
No. Not even the mental health part. Mm-hmm. She was checking her physically, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to your doctor.
Well, didn't we first meet her in Arkham treating
yes.
inmate in the asylum?
Yes. We had mm-hmm. that with Lee. But her current position mm-hmm. is the medical examiner.
Yeah.
Barbara shouldn't be coming to her for two-week checkups.
I kind of got the impression that it was just because she was so close to the situation or something, or maybe Jim brought Barbara or had Barbara go there because he wanted to make sure she was okay or something. But yeah, there's obviously the conflict of interest there too.
Yeah. I actually think he would not mm-hmm. have Lee do it because of that conflict. and well, you know, she cray cray. so that just really bothered me. Mm-hmm. What are you giggling at?
Oh no. Twits Tie just changed their screen name to Twist Tie. It was supposed to be Twist Tie.
So. Spelling errors. It's okay. Harvey, why are you still questioning Jim? Why? Why are you questioning? You should have never been like, where are you? What are you doing? Get out of there. No, he should have been like, I'll be right there. He should have been like, I'm in the car. I'm coming. Because every single time Jim is like, Harvey, we need to do this. Harvey goes, no, I don't want to do that. And then he does it anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I did enjoy that we got some more of that Harvey just being very concerned about Jim's welfare, though. We got some of those moments again where he was like, you know, you're still all twisted from the barber situation. Yeah. You're not thinking straight. Don't go in there. You know, you're going to get yourself killed.
Yeah.
And then he shows up behind him after the gunfire.
It's Harvey. But yeah, just go. Stop giving him crap about it. Mm-hmm. No, we'll get to that part later. Okay. And my last point about the GCPD, Montoya and Allen. How is a mob war not major crimes?
I'm not familiar with them.
Who are these Montoya and Allen?
Never
people?
Heard of them. Never. Of course we know Montoya and Allen. And we can't go a week without saying, we want you guys back.
Bring them back.
Yeah, I mean, we have two pictures here of Montoya on the wall, there and there.
Oh yeah, she's way over there.
Yeah, the question way back in the corner there. But yeah, seriously, I
feel like this is something they should have been dealing with. Yeah. And I know you have a theory about that. Do you want to throw that out now, or is that for later?
Oh, I was just under the assumption that since Montoya and Allen are the ones that introduced Jim to Harvey Dent, when Harvey Dent comes back as a full-time player, a main cast member next season, that Montoya and Allen will probably come along with them. I'm hoping. Who knows, though?
Fingers
hard
crossed.
To say.
Fingers crossed. So, but oh, yeah,
and they're talking about Enigma in the chat room, saying that they're excited for next season.
But he's season three, guys.
I mean,
he'll be in season two, but
yeah. Actually, Eve mentions that here, and
good.
So I'm guessing next season will probably be whatever happens with him and Kringle shaking out. But I'm sure we'll be talking about that in a minute. You put in something about that, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm doing like the Joker-y smile thing.
The Joker smile.
But I don't have lipstick, right?
That's fine. Okay, so a little school time here. A couple things I thought, I'd inform you guys about. I'd teach you about. Just so you're an informed viewer.
Teach us.
Okay, first of all, one of the big things in this episode that in the Bruce Wayne plot line that was hit over and over again was stoicism. That Thomas Wayne was a stoic.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, when I heard this last week, I kind of knew that this was a school of philosophy, but I just assumed they meant, you know, he's a stoic man, you know, just like Alfred was interpreting too.
Yeah.
But no, if you didn't know stoicism, it's a philosophy which states negative emotions come from errors in judgment and that one should work towards a place of moral and intellectual perfection to eliminate them. So obviously this is a very similar philosophy as Batman has.
Mm-hmm.
No emotions, logical, that's the way to be the ultimate human being, all that kind of stuff. So I suspect Bruce's training will officially begin once he reaches the bottom of those stairs. I also love the fact that they're giving Thomas Wayne a more of a Silver Age past here. I don't know if he's going to be a mass vigilante or something, but obviously he had secrets and he was probably working against the bad guys in secret somehow.
One would think, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to see the bat suit that he wore that I mentioned last week he wore to a Halloween party back in the 50s or not, but it would be kind of fun if he had a bat suit down there or some sort of
a prototype.
Or like bat iconography or something down there, just so we could start getting some bat symbols in the series. That would be kind of fun.
That would be nice.
And I mean,
we did hear the bats.
And I mean, if they have a suit that they can definitely Bruce in and have him start chasing down some criminals or something.
Right.
I'd totally be down for that too. Oh, and hi, Bat's alive in the chat room.
Oh, there's a bunch of people. We've got Joel PDX. Bat's alive. Twista. Mm-hmm. I love this. Welcome, guys, because this is a very busier chat room than we're used to.
Isn't PDX an airport?
Yes, it's Portland.
Oh, Joel from Portland.
Yes.
Why are Joel from Portland. I was just verifying.
Yeah.
I was just verifying.
I miss Portland.
Verifying. Okay, and one other little sort of little lesson here for you guys today is I thought, and again, this is something that happened last week, was the title was super important and super thematic to the episode. Happened again this week with All Happy Families Are Alike. Now, if you guys aren't familiar, if that didn't catch you, it's from the Anna Karenina principle, and the full quote is, "Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way."
Oh.
So it basically means that successful endeavors have common factors why they succeeded, while unsuccessful endeavors usually have unique reasons why they failed. So I think this is referencing the Bruce Gordon daddy revelations, first of all. They are both working to be successful heroes, and their father's secrets are the common factor.
Hmm.
And it also references the fact that by the end, Fish and Penguin were both in the same spot, in the same plan. Like, you know, if their plans were step one, step two, step three, they were both on step three, both at equal positions, even down to, Butch, yeah, shooting them both at the same time and everything. What eventually happened, though, is Fish's love for Butch distracted her, which allowed Penguin to hit him, knock her over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. That's the thing that was unalike that allowed Penguin to succeed in his plan over Fish. So just some interesting things.
The Fish and Butch thing, though, was so touching because you could tell this is the one person she truly loves.
Yeah, definitely.
She truly, truly loves him, and she's so upset by whatever they've done to him. I really don't want to know what they did to him. I really don't. So
yeah.
I hope we never get that story.
Better leave that back in the Zaz.
Let's leave that to Zaz.
Joel says Zaz couldn't be there because he had a hair club for men meeting. I hope he'll give me the card because I need it. Definitely. It was her love for Butch which doomed her.
Yeah.
After everything she went through, too, which although we didn't get any official answers as to
what happened.
We have
no idea what happened.
Helicopter crash and
I think they just ran away from it. They're like cutting and run on that storyline because they had to.
Yeah.
They're just like, we got to get her off the island. Just go. Just go. But we did basically learn that even though she's shot, she could fly.
Yes. Yes.
To somewhere with a boat.
Where she can get some bolts in the side of her head.
And black. No, I think that happened after she came to Gotham.
Bedazzled the side of her head.
Whatever.
Okay, so you wanted to talk a little bit about the hospital shootout, right?
That was awesome.
Yeah, basically.
We're not really big on the big bang 'em up fight scenes.
Oh,
it's
no,
just
not
really like a thing we like around mm-hmm. here. But this scene was amazing. I loved that it was Jim versus at least four guys. And he was just taking them out one by one. And using their guns against them.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, here, hold on. Let me hold your hand. Bye-bye, buddy. It was quick. It wasn't, in essence, too messy.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes they just do gore for gore, and it's just not necessary.
Yeah, I think it's probably my favorite action sequence they've done in this season, with maybe the exception of the one from the Black Mask episode, the office supply fight scene. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good one, too.
They definitely have come a long way from that awful chase scene in the pilot with the crazy effects.
Oh, with the
PTSD effect. That was horrible.
Yeah, they completely dropped that threat.
Yeah, that's because it was awful. There was a reason they completely dropped that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could totally handle one of these types of scenes every like 2 weeks or so.
Definitely.
Etc. Etc.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that too. I think Danny Cannon directed this one, didn't he? I believe.
I'm sorry, I didn't need to pull that up.
I believe he did. But a very good direction overall. A lot of really cool camera moves and everything. Although I still think, just a little bit. Series recap. I think my favorite shot in the entire series was in one of TJ Scott's episode where they zoom in through the window in Barbara's apartment. Like that was a really cool shot. Like I wonder how much of that was CG too. But
yeah.
Okay, well, let's see here. We're going to get back to the main discussion in just a moment. But first of all, it is time to look
at
this
Joker. Look at this Joker.
Look at this Joker. Everybody, look at this Joker. People are jokers. You should look at them. If you don't, then you will be a sin.
See, yours dances. Mine is tiny.
Look at this Joker. This is when we look at all the clues, hints, references, etc. For the Joker in Gotham. And we've been doing it since season one, episode one, the pilot with the comedian, and the ha 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 and the thing. And the guy with the shiny shoes and Laszlo, whatever happened to him, he's probably dead now. Balloon Man and on and on. And finally, we're here in season one, episode 22, All Happy Families Are Alike. Now, Bruno Heller has already said that season two will feature the Joker, like season one featured the Penguin. So there aren't many Joker clues in this week's episode, but there are some total loony birds.
Some loonies.
We'll go ahead and feature here. First up is Butch, obviously. Now, Butch is torn between his old friend and his new master. The look on his face as he decides who to shoot had a certain Joker-esque flair, but not nearly as much as Barbara. Yes, Barbara finally cracks tonight after revealing she killed her parents to Leslie Tompkins. If she survived, Leslie's attack, Jim has a ticket to Arkham with her name on it. I'll bet she'll fit right in. Maybe she could make friends with that Jerome guy who got sent there a couple
they'll be in a relationship. Can you?
She could possibly be. And I mean, she likes men who are violent. That was revealed this episode. Well, I actually have a point on that.
Okay, good. Well, I'll find my note while we're doing that. But yeah.
Yeah, and Twist Tie in the chat room says the Joker has to be Jerome. Yeah, that's basically the assumption we're working
with. But we couldn't get rid of the segment because it's just too fun. And we like to sing, but look at this Joker.
Look at this Joker.
Look at this Joker.
Dude. Hey, dude, look at this Joker. He's really cool. He's surfing. Did you ever see that, the surfing contest with Batman and the Joker?
No.
Now I feel like I have to pull this up real quick.
No, it just sounds awful.
Hold on. I got to pull this up here.
Oh, my God.
Here, I am going to actually, we'll mute the video and we'll show this here real quick. Yep, Batman and the Joker surfing. And Joker is actually wearing, like, surfing shorts over his purple dress pants.
Oh,
it's
that is
pretty phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Pretty phenomenal. One of my favorite Batman moments. Instead of kind of like a jumping the shark moment too, because it was in a later season.
Was it really?
Yeah. And it was like where they got really gimmicky with the episodes and everything.
I'm sorry, that wasn't gimmicky from the beginning.
Okay, and one thing we wanted to mention, we're going into the summer hiatus here. If you wanted to do something to help us out over the summer and bring in some new viewers and stuff, because people will be catching up on Gotham because it's coming to Netflix.
When is it coming to Netflix? Do we know that yet?
I have no idea.
But it'll be before next season. So my guess is July, early August.
Yeah, but if you want to help people find the show, one great way you can do that is by going to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and just leaving a review, an honest review. It can be 1 star, 5 stars. You can say you like us, you can say you hate us. But it's really helpful if you go and leave one of those. And if you leave one, we'll read it on the show over the hiatus.
Yes.
So that'll be a lot of
fun. Because we'll put out some random episodes. Once they're out on Netflix, we'll do an episode commentary.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
All about the commentaries for sure.
So fun.
Okay, and now before we get back to the main discussion, we're going to go ahead and play a voicemail from a Holy Bat Pastor, formerly Pastor of Batman. But went ahead and sent in his thoughts on the finale and I think a little bit the season in general. But we'll also, for the video watchers, we'll be playing all of the posters we've made for all of the episodes this while we play it. Yeah, take it away.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie. It's one of your biggest fans, Holy Bat Pastor. Hey, I'm going to try to limit my comments, but there's so much to talk about, so I'm going to go fast. And please, if you just need to ditch this or edit it like crazy, you are welcome to. I trust your judgment. Okay, where in the world does one begin? With Fish Mooney making her grand entrance into Gotham while assuming a posture reminiscent of George Washington and his army crossing the Delaware? No, let's not start there. Maybe with Maroni declaring, "We will whip this town like a winded mule." No, let's don't start there either. So let's start with that title. Love the title. My guess is that this quote from Tolstoy was meant to be a tongue-in-cheek method to provoke the viewers to consider the second half of the original sentence, which states, "Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." My thought is that.
And
did you listen to this ahead of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, or no, actually, I didn't. I was just jumping in to say I didn't listen to this ahead of time.
Nice.
But here, reinforcing the point.
It is an accurate way to sum up not only the finale, but also the entire first season. Hey, remember when it appeared that Bruce was determined to rip all of the books from their shelves? The expression on Mr. Pennyworth's face was priceless. With one look, Alfred said, "Thanks, Mr. Bruce. I'm going to have to clean up after your billionaire ass, right?" Then there was the hospital visit. Loved it. Can we all say, Penguin came to visit old man Falcone, plus he remembered to bring flowers and a freaking gun. Speaking of Falcone, he's either gutsy or clueless, because very few Gotham citizens will ever see Oswald Cobblepot enter the room and find themselves muttering the phrase, "Oh, Penguin, thank God." Side note, the slow-motion portions of Jim Gordon's rendition of Gunfight at the OK Corral, in my opinion, were a glorious feast of eye candy. Next, Penguin's strategy of insinuating the tiniest shred of doubt into the dialogue between Mooney and Maroni was, in a word, brilliant. Also, it'll be a long time before I use the term of endearment known as babes. Just saying. It was incredibly fitting that the final showdown of Fish versus Penguin was replete with callbacks to the very first episode, in which we were introduced to the dynamic of their relationship, the water, the bat, the beating. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you pointed out more by now. Oh, and by the way, in case you missed it, Barbara killed her own parent. Yeah. There was that. I enjoyed Penguin's rather titanic self-pronouncement regarding his status as the reigning king of Gotham. Very cool. The scene with Edward Nygma and Kristen Kringle in the file room was a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Not only was Corey Michael Smith's performance nuanced, divided, manic, and oppressive all at one time, but combined with the musical choices, the visual effects, the sound effects, it was a fascinating glance at the demons either controlling or manipulating our future Riddler. Lastly, love that apparent journey into the much-anticipated subterranean grotto. Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie, this is part two of my bloviating again. I'm sorry. Real quick, I did love that apparent journey into the subterranean grotto and that it begins from Wayne Manor's study, much in the same way that Batman 1960s TV series treated its point of access. Mm-hmm. In conclusion, my final grade for the final episode of Gotham is a 97%. Woo-hoo. I loved it. I thought it was the best episode of the whole season. That equates to a letter grade of an A or a sliding scale rating of roughly 9.5 unexpected bullets through the forehead of a loudmouth male chauvinist pig. So that's my crazy, rather verbose review of the Gotham finale. Talk with y'all soon.
That was so awesome.
great as always. Yeah, definitely. I don't have his Twitter handle up here. I think it's at Holy Bat Pastor, maybe.
I think so.
But such a great guy and such a huge fan of Gotham too. Like, always out there with tons of punny.
He's very punny.
And yeah, very much appreciate that for sure. Thanks. Okay, so let's see here in the chat room. Joel from Portland says they should have gotten Adam Levine to play Ogre. He and that actor from Heroes almost look the same.
I disagree. I disagree greatly. I hate Adam Levine.
Who is Adam Levine?
He's a musician.
Oh, okay. What's he?
I forget.
Hold on one second.
I don't know. I'm trying to look at the Critics' Choice because who was it who said that? Morgan said that Corey Michael Smith has been entered for a Critics' Choice Award. The link is in the chat, and I'll.
Yeah, I was just pulling it up here, it'll be in the show notes at legendsofgotham.com too.
Of course.
But here over at Deadline, they have it listed here.
Deadline.
Congratulations to Corey Michael Smith. Very well deserved.
True that.
Enigma is a great character, as always. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we'll go ahead and get back to the main discussion here, I suppose. So I want to talk a little bit about Barbara.
Barbara.
So is she dead?
No.
It seems likely, though. I mean,
no.
That's a lot of hits back of the head, floor, hard, bad. If she's not dead, it definitely feels like her becoming a supervillain is a lock, though.
But
maybe she has that immunity to head injuries that so many thugs in the Batman universe have.
They
should all be brain dead, for sure.
For much.
Oh, the Maroon 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I know who he is.
That.
Okay. So I loved... I love the reveal on Babs killing her parents. I didn't suspect it.
I didn't either.
After last week, I honestly had no idea. I thought she was more just like observing what the ogre had done than being shocked by it or whatever. So, but I did know that Leslie was in danger the second Barbara invited her over. That was a dumb decision to go over there.
That was awful.
Stupid Leslie, I guess. So it sounds like Barbara thought Jim was a bad boy when they first got together too. And when she realized that she was wrong, she realized he was more on the side of the angels. I think she leaked that story to the paper on purpose because she wanted a little bit more danger or risk in her life, you know? Because that's kind of her MO, right? So then when Zaz abducts her, it gets a little too real, but at that point, the damage is done and she starts slipping. And it actually kind of makes you view her entire arc over the season
so much better.
In a whole new way, and it kind of improves it a lot, for sure.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, people are saying Bobby doesn't think she's dead.
And Joel's laughing at me.
Okay, and but I definitely loved her arc overall for the season. And hopefully we haven't seen the last of her, at least not her apartment. I love that set.
I love her apartment. I want her apartment.
Did you have any more thoughts on Barbara?
No, because you're...
What did you think about the fight overall?
She was so creepy. Mm-hmm. How did Lee get out of there with... unscathed.
I was actually surprised with how good she was at the whole fighting thing. Like
yeah.
I didn't expect her to rally like that when Barbara started stabbing through the door.
That was okay. That
here's Barbie.
Like,
no, you got to say Barbie. Yeah, whatever. Johnny Barbie.
I've never seen that movie.
And she kind of looks like a Barbie doll a little bit.
I'm a Barbie girl. No, that just how did Lee? I can't imagine her. But then she felt so fake. Like as soon as she sees Jim, she just melts into him. She just went crazy. Like it actually almost felt like Lee went crazy.
Well,
and nobody else knows what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one thing too. I was kind of surprised that there weren't more questions about what went down at all.
There was no question.
But then again, this was such a packed episode. They probably just had to keep things moving, you know?
Yeah.
And whatchamacallit?
Exactly.
But Morgan Scorpion says, didn't like Barbara at first, love her now. Mm-hmm. And then the fight scene was not exactly Kill Bill. Funny you should say that because it actually reminded me of the bride, Vivica A. Fox, whatever her name was. Foxy Cleopatra, I think. fight scene in the house when the daughter walks in and stuff. It kind of reminded me of that. But
Bobby said, how will Barbara be Batgirl's mom? Mm,
I don't know. Maybe that's not meant to be in this universe. I mean, that varies in comic book universes,
does
too,
it?
Whether it's her mom or Barbara's adopted or she's a clone. No, I'm kidding. That never happens. Okay, so I guess we should go ahead and broach the topic of good old Eddie Nigma, right?
Ha! And you didn't even have the camera on, man. I did the whole spazzy thing. Whatever. I'm not going to do it again. It hurt. So, Kristen. I don't know how I feel about her now. Like, I kind of liked her in the beginning, and now I'm not so sure what's going on with her. Is she mad that she figured out the clue?
Or mad about the revelation that he was involved?
Or is she kind of excited about it?
See, that's my thinking.
A little excited about it. Like, I feel like they want a team. She wants to team up.
Yeah, I can definitely see a team up coming here.
But
well, see, I actually think, though, and I was trying to see if it, this was on your point.
Yeah,
or not.
Just say it anyway.
I think she knows it was him. Mm-hmm. She likes it. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to screw it up because he's so paranoid about it that he's going to end up killing her before he – before
it'll be like her last dying breath.
Yeah. And she'll be like, no, I was down with it. I wanted to help kill people.
That's the line. I was down with it.
I was so down for all this murder, Ed.
I was down with the murders.
I was down with the sickness. No, but I think it's going to be like a tragic thing. Like I think he's going to ramp up in the paranoia, eventually strike out at her and realize as she's dying that she would have been on board.
Because
like he even says to himself in that twitchy scene, you know, maybe she liked that. So that's the kind of guy you have to be if you want to be with her. You know?
Yeah. It's better if she's scared of you. No, it's not. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Yes. So that the effects on that scene were amazing and on point. Like sometimes effects on the show can be very out of place because it's not an effects-y show.
Mm-hmm.
Effects-y sign.
I'll allow it.
You'll allow it? Good. But it didn't feel nearly as out of place as it could have. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have fit anywhere else, but that was perfect.
Definitely.
And now I just can't wait to see where we go from here.
Oh, yeah.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. And like, I absolutely loved it. I'm kind of interested to see how far they're going to take it with Ed still working for the GCPD, too. Like, I'm wondering where the final break of him putting on the green tights is going to be. Like, that's what I don't see the path to. Mm-hmm. Although I would also really like a season of him and Kringle just like, you know, wreaking havoc, robbing banks and stuff too.
Maybe so, that'll happen. Maybe
I'd like that.
Maybe he'll figure it out. Mm. Yes, Twist Eye. I know it was 10% effects, 90% Corey. But it was just the way they meshed them all.
Yeah, and Bridget in the chat room says, I really enjoyed the Gotham finale, smiley face. The whole season has been one big thrill ride.
I love hearing you read smiley faces.
Smiley face.
Sad face.
Frowny face.
It was a smirk.
Winky face. Okay, so
please don't ever make him say winky face again.
Winky face. So Kat's new gig. Kat's gig working for Fish. Somehow the Fish got one over on the Kat. What are you going to do? So I really do dig her working for Fish. It's always seemed natural that they would hook up eventually, if nothing else, just because of the Animal Association. Mm-hmm. All right. And I also like seeing Kat embrace her villainous side. She likes it. She kind of likes this world, right? And this probably means that Bruce is probably not going to like Kat very much going forward. So it's sad to see their friendship suffer, but it's also pushing towards the classic Bat-Cat, where she's firmly on the side of the villains with dalliances on the side of the angels, instead of how it's been most of this season, where she's kind of like neutral. She'll do some bad things sometimes, but she's really trying to help Bruce.
Right. You know? I think her actually working with Fish is what makes her makes her the villain.
Oh, yeah.
I think it shows her the... This is going to sound just very feministy, but it shows her that the woman can have the power.
Yeah.
Because everybody else that's powerful in the show is a man.
Well, you could definitely see a look on her face when Fish shot Maroney.
I
definitely think that she'll remember. And Catgirl's in the chat room. Catgirl 121. Hi Catgirl,
we're talking about you.
I definitely think she'll hold Fish as like a role model moving forward, which is good, because as we've said all season, a lot of Fish's performance calls to mind classic Catwomans like Eartha Kitt and Julie Newmar and everything. So it just really makes sense. So but I also loved Kat's hairdo. The hairdo she had.
You're not going to be able to see it, but I tried to do a little bit of the Cat, because her hair's not shaved.
Uh-huh.
It's a braid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be like the Cat.
No, but I dug it because it was like a combination of Selena Kyle's hairdo from the 80s comics and Michelle Pfeiffer's like dolled up dancing at the ball with Bruce Wayne hairdo from Batman Returns. So it was kind of a nice little callback to both two old Catwomans, plus it kind of called Fish's hairdo, new hairdo into mine too, which was kind of cool. Oh, Joel has a game for us here. Is this Adam Levine Klein or Milo Ventimiglia?
That's Milo.
Milo. Milo and Otis. Hold on.
No, Milo and Otis.
There we go. I've never seen Adam Levine, so I'm going to say Milo, too. We'll find out if we're right in a minute.
I promise you it is.
We shall see. Who knows?
Okay. Celebrity crush. Whatever. Okay, bring it back.
Oh, I also kind of, I don't think I put this here, but I would like it if maybe Penguin recruits Kat to work for him.
That'll never happen.
Like, I think she would make a good employee, and it would be kind of fun.
As I would like to refer to the chat, Kat liked to, it was Morgan. Kat liked to tease Penguin a little bit, and he's going to remember her for that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that...
You don't think that'll connect back up?
She won't work for him.
Okay, so you...
Because I think he's strong, but he's weak. Mm-hmm. She's not going to deal with that.
Yeah.
She could overpower him if she really tried.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess because he's kind of cripply. But he has...
It is kind of cripply.
He does have some strong men working for him, though. So I guess... Just like Maroney did.
Maroney. That's Adam. Yeah.
See, Joel just posted in a picture of Adam Levine here. I don't think they look very much alike, Joel.
I don't either.
But... Okay, Maroney.
Kat's going to need a good fence. That's true. Oh, sorry. This is my point, isn't it? Maroney. Yeah. Okay, Jada made it. Okay. You're a dumbass.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're a dumbass. You're too much of a show-off to actually rule the town. Mm-hmm. You obviously didn't take Fish seriously, babes. Babes, toots, sweetie. She told you repeatedly. She did give you a chance. Mm-hmm. And you just... basically wore an ass.
Yeah.
She's never going to be your number two. You'd have been dead within a week. She didn't need him.
I love how Penguin was still trying to get in there and play everyone off each other.
Shut up, Penguin. I'm surprised nobody shot him. Well, they couldn't because it's Batman. But he should have been shot then.
Yeah.
And dangling. Basically,
but he's a cockroach.
He is a cockroach. That's exactly what he is. He's not a penguin. He's a cockroach. But basically, he's making fun of her in this... airplane hangar of like 30 people. Mm-hmm. You know, 25 of them have a gun, a knife, or multiples.
Yeah.
And you think she's not going to do anything? You have underestimated Fish Mooney after all this time. Like, you're speaking her praises, then you make fun of her.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. No warning.
See, this, while I enjoyed how the, yes, I saw the intro.
Maroney is a dick.
I enjoyed how it went down, aka Fish just randomly like shooting him in the head. Uh-huh. But I felt it was a little wasted too. It just because, for one, the actor who plays Maroney, he's had some of the best one-liners and kind of like cute little catchphrases and stuff throughout the entire series. You little snitch, just dirty, rotten son of a bitch, you know, stuff like that. And we didn't get one of those lines in this episode before
he
died.
He didn't have time.
I know, right?
He didn't have time.
I just also, it felt like it should have been maybe just a little bit more, or maybe they should have, they never really paid off the whole thing with Maroney and Penguin's mom that we've been kind of speculating
that
on the whole
season. That would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been nice if we got some, if maybe, you know, right at the beginning of the episode after the 2-week flash, we find out that Penguin's mom's dead. She got killed in the war and Maroney probably did it or something like that.
Nah, she's not unbreakable. Unbreakable.
Yeah, but overall, yeah, I like Maroney. For sure.
He was good. We'll miss him a little bit.
So let's see here. Eve says Penguin's persuasion powers did work, though. It was fantastic to see him at it, making Fish and Maroney argue. And Morgan says a very cute cockroach. And let's see here.
That's Alive says, so what happens to Maroney's cronies? Well, I'm going to say at least half of them that were there are dead now.
Yeah, probably.
At least half. I'd say about 3 ran out the back door because that's what I would do. I don't care. I don't know why they started shooting. Honestly, they should have put the guns down and said, I'm yours. Because they're cronies.
And the rest started up an indie band that will be playing at Oswald's in the first episode next season. They'll sound a little bit like Maroon 5. Okay, so I guess we should go ahead and talk about the Fish and Penguin fight.
Right.
The big final showdown between Fish and Penguin. Now, if I have one complaint about this fight, it's that it went down exactly like we always assumed it would, down to Butch being the deciding factor over who lives and who dies and everything. Now, there's a fine line between an end ending that feels natural and one that feels like forced or kind of pat. Mm-hmm. And this one is like right on the edge. I loved it, but it was a good fight scene and everything. It was brutal.
I didn't like the ending.
But it felt a little expected. It felt like they could have thrown a little twist in there to, subvert expectations or something like that. Now, that being said, I did love the Butch's dilemma. Him shooting both of them was just hilarious. Butch can't hurt fish, hurt penguin, hurt fish. Then just shoots everybody.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And fishes,
hilarious.
Right there at the end, fishes fall in the water. Fishes love to swim. I know Jada said she's not coming back. The people have said she's not coming back. They had her fall in the water for a reason. Mm-hmm. I could see... season 2, season 3, somewhere in there.
They left it open.
Yeah, her coming back for one big, like, two-parter episode or something like that.
Or in some other capacity. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not even, like, she ain't coming back to try and take over.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know. Like, some other small time. Just a guess.
Maybe she'll swim back out to Dahlmacher's. We'll find out what happened to him eventually.
No, we won't. That's, probably not. That ship has sailed.
She'll come back as Mecha Fish. It'll be fun. Okay, so you want to talk a little bit about the Jim and Harv's best friend, Falcone.
Okay, so I loved the three of them in this episode. Mm-hmm. I thought they were adorable. Their relationship really was good for how it all... I mean, can't they just, like, let Falcone go? I mean, like, stop saying he's the bad guy. I know he is the bad guy, but shut up and save his life. Like, I don't know. It was precious. Mm-hmm. All of their deep talks and everything. And one of the most important things I think that came out of all of it, though, was when they were on Barbara's patio talking, and he said, you know, when Jim's sort of trying to talk him into just say, fix it all, please just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Batman. he's like, no, Gotham needs a strong lawman right now. And I think he means it this way to be Jim, and that's how Jim's going to interpret it. No, this means Batman. This means Batman.
The Bat. The Batman.
Don't give me toys. It's dangerous. But that's how I interpret it, because we went straight from that scene to the Batcave.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're going for.
And I mean, they were really hitting up all sorts of parallels.
She'll come back as Killer Croc.
they were definitely hitting up a lot of parallels between Bruce and Jim this whole episode. Well, the whole series, but yeah, particularly this episode, which I really think we're going to see the big split to where they're both co-protagonists and they're both taking up as much, yep, as big a part of the story as the other one, for sure. See here. Anything else? Bobby says, I hate Fish as a character. I wish she were gone. Was gone indefinitely. And Twist High says, not a bad performance in the show at all. I think we've liked pretty much every performance, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's been any character that were just like...
Fish was a little uneven at the beginning.
Yeah, she was wobbly.
And Barbara, we were very uneven about the entire series until this episode, which completely recontextualizes the series for us, I think. Okay, so where does this leave everyone now? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Penguin. He's the king of Gotham, mm-hmm, finally. And
Sorry.
Also, incidentally, I loved in this episode that after months of planning and sneaking around in the shadows and, you know, 12th dimensional chess with mob bosses and stuff like that, he finally takes an active role in this episode, and he's eventually just hunting Fish down with a gun.
Fish, yeah. Where are you? It was very reminiscent of Zaz at the GCPCon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim!
But yeah, it was definitely nice to see an active Penguin. I hope this portends something for his portrayal moving forward, because now he's the king of Gotham, right? So he has to be more active. He has to be out there on the streets, busting heads. So Maroni's dead. I'll miss his one-liners most of all. Mm-hmm. Falcone's retired. He's gone. He's south.
And maybe, Harvey wants to go with him. Maybe he's like, can I get him down?
Maybe Harvey's his roommate. So Kat's working for Penguin now. Maybe she just stole a gun and she's out there on the mean streets on her own again. Or maybe she broke into Barbara's apartment.
There's too many people in that apartment probably right now.
And and Gordon wants blood. Loeb's blood. So I think that's going to be a... But I think that's going to be a big kind of a goal for Jim in the next season. And I'm glad we're not losing Loeb. I'm glad he's sticking around, because Peter Scolari does a great job in the role. He's just completely cruel, and she's going to shoot me with a gun, isn't she? Yep. Go ahead. Gun shooting. That's fine. Okay, Joel says in the chat room, anyone else get the catfish connection? If Cat dies and she died, the doll maker could make them into catfish. Kind of like Cat Dog, I guess. Okay, and I also think, if my count's correct, Gordon still owes Penguin one more favor, right?
Yep.
Excellent. Good to know.
Yes. So...
Oh, Twist High in the chat room is thinking, I'm the king of Gotham to the tune of Everything is Awesome.
I'm the king of Gotham.
I'm the king of Gotham when Falcone retires. I'm the king of Gotham and Fish is dead.
Oh, you should have never.
I'm the king of Gotham. I'm the king of Gotham and I like to eat bread.
See, and then there's me. All I can think of is, I'm the king of the world.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, kind of like the Titanic sort of thing.
Paint me like one of your French girls.
Paint me like one of your French girls, Jim Gordon.
Joe, that'll be on YouTube sometime next week.
Okay, so you wanted something to finish us up here real quick.
So who controls Zaz now?
I don't know. Zaz wasn't even in here. Zaz or his girls.
Who cares about the girls? They're replaceable.
Maybe a prolonged period of unemployment is what turns him into a serial killer like he is in the comics.
I'm sorry, what turns him into a serial killer?
Well, I mean, right now he's a professional killer. He's a killer for hire with a little quirk. He's a cutter. He likes to cut himself every time he kills someone. In the comics, he's more of just a psychotic serial killer. He likes killing people because he likes torturing them. And he doesn't get paid for it. He just does it for fun. It's a hobby.
Oh.
So maybe
yep, coming soon.
I mean, unemployment does crazy things to people, so...
No, please. No Titanic, I beg you.
Near, far,
wherever you are. Oh, why are we singing so much?
I know that my fish will swim on. Here, there, with Dollmaker's Lair. I believe that my fish and my fish will go on and on. Okay.
Sorry.
Arbitrary scale. Out of 124 shards of glass from a broken mirror, how many shards of glass from a broken mirror do you give this episode, Anne-Marie? We're all watching you. We're all waiting.
122.
Why?
Because it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It did almost everything we needed it to. We wanted it to. We expected it to. I just would have liked another step or two into the cave.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's just all like I wanted. Just a little bit farther.
Just a little.
A little bit more down the pathway.
Or if a bat would have flown across the screen or up something, something a little bit more.
Oh, and Twist Eye goes, no, for the Titanic stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You are Canadian. You should apologize.
Okay, as for me, I'm going to give it, and this is very bizarre, I'm going to go ahead and give it one whole mirror. I think this episode was so good, it reunited all of the shards back into one whole mirror. I absolutely loved it. I loved everything about it. Like I said, I thought the ending was right on the line of being a little pat, but I still, it's what everyone expected. It's what everyone wanted to see. It's a good episode, right?
Yep.
Good episode, definitely.
Bobby's giving it 97 shards. Bobby, that's pretty low for you, man.
Yeah, right?
What the what?
I guess we'll hear what he has to say about it soon.
Robin will soon be in a film with Courtney Love and Ashton Kutcher?
Interesting.
What is that?
Courtney at Oswald's. I'd like that.
See,
for sure.
That I would love to see because hot mess with hot mess.
Okay, let's see here. We're going to go ahead and just tell you a little bit about our Patreon here. Then we're going to get on to some news and some more listener feedback and everything. Anne-Marie, you want to spill the beans on this thing?
I will spill the beans. Hi, guys. I'm Anne-Marie, and we have a Patreon. You may or may not be aware that we produce 3 weekly podcasts, all live streamed, all video, all interactive chat rooms. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. We've been growing and expanding. Like, tonight's chat room is like triple what it usually is, and it's fantastic. So welcome. Patreon is just a way for us to help increase our content more and more. We're looking to maybe add a new show, do some new things, try a little this, try a little that, and your donations can help. You can start, donations start at 10 cents and can go up to whatever you feel like giving us every month. You're welcome to change it at any time. Mm-hmm. Donations have helped us so far to get rid of external ads, as well as to throw a monthly party, aka Google Hangout, for all of our patrons, where we just get together and talk and talk about, well, in a sense, the future of the network, if that's what we're calling ourselves now.
Yeah, and just random stuff, too.
And just random stuff. You may have missed our drunk party a few weeks ago. You should go back and check that out, because it was fun. But some of our next milestones coming up are we're going to start doing some bi-weekly movie commentaries, and they're going to be patron-exclusive for 6 months or so. And the first commentaries are going to be Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Goonies, and the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And we would love to get there. We're so close. We're what, $50 away or something?
Yeah, $45.
$43.50 away from hitting that next stone or milestone. Mm-hmm. And that's really not that far.
Oh, no.
So if you got a couple bucks you would like to throw our way, we'd appreciate it at patreon.com/universebox. Or if you can't commit to a monthly pledge, if over on YouTube there is like a support this channel button, right, you can make a singular donation.
Definitely. And Bobby in the chat room says the handouts are awesome. He has been there. For sure.
Yes. Joel wants us to hit the benchmark for watching Lost. Yes, well, Joel, help us out.
The benchmark for watching Lost, we're a ways away. $325 a month and we'll watch Lost and do a podcast on it.
Which is crazy because if you're familiar with our other show, Greetings from Storybrooke, it's by the guys who did Lost and we've never seen Lost. Mm-hmm. And they yell at us every week.
Okay. And Bats Alive, Eve
45,
says...
$45.50. What?
123.5 shards from Eve. And then here. I know I saw Morgan says 124 shards. And good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, now on to the news.
News.
First up, the ratings. The already renewed Gotham's finale, so it doesn't really matter, I guess, drew 4.9 million and 1.7, rising 6% and 0.2 week to week. Okay, now this next story here, Bruno Heller, the big dog in charge of Gotham, has been doing a little talking about what they have planned for season two. We pulled a couple of things out of here, which, by the way, you can get all the links to all of these stories in the show notes at legendsofgotham.com.
Okay, let's see. Some things he said. We're going to find out how the hell Jerome, the proto-Joker we met earlier this season, connects with the Joker as people know him. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We're going to tell the story of how the Joker came to be.
Joker origin.
Fans might be wondering what happened to Butch or Selina after Oswald's victory. Bruno Heller reveals that some of these moments in the finale were sacrificed for the greater good. So those stories, they're already created. They just couldn't fit them in.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see if we're going to get a bunch of deleted scenes on the Blu-ray that might address some complaints we've had.
I think it's going to, and I'm assuming we'll get at least one or two Montoya and Allen.
I would hope.
Wish, I hope, I pray.
They got to show up somewhere. They exist somewhere.
They exist somewhere, yes.
Okay, next up is just, I thought you guys might find this fun. Someone did sort of like a cast drawing of the Gotham cast in support of the finale. And this is a speed painting that they did. I'm running it at double speed actually right now. It's a lot of fun. Great picture of the cast from Meles, I believe, and we'll have the link in the show notes as well.
That is super cool.
Okay, something else.
Ivy, whatever happened to thee?
Something else I wanted to point out was Robin Lord Taylor was on the Nerdist podcast this week.
I still need to listen to that.
It's really good, really good. He's a really affable guy, not nearly as murderous as you would think.
He doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, but really good thing. Couple things I wanted to point out here real quick that I thought was fun from the interview. They go into Gotham a bit, typecasting and how the word casting is still in there. Mm-hmm. And plus the story of how Robin met his husband at an audition. Also, a little bit of trivia. The woman who was watching Loeb's daughter a couple episodes back, mm-hmm. I think everyone has a Cobblepot.
Yes.
Actually got his husband, his first agent. So,
so they
knew each other for years, and then they happened to be on Gotham. Yeah, but definitely well worth a listen. And kind of if you like character actors and kind of want to hear a bit about character acting and kind of how they approach roles, mm-hmm. there's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh,
in there,
God,
too.
He's a character actor? Or he doesn't do like methody stuff. He's not like killing people in the background, right?
No. It's more just like kind of putting the character on like a costume and then walking away from it at the end of the day.
I just wanted to make sure that he's not doing – I'm frozen.
Oh, that's – okay. So no Anne-Marie camera.
No Anne-Marie camera.
That's fine.
Womp womp.
Yeah, but Corey Michael Smith for Critics' Choice Award, too. So definitely.
Can you turn off the picture of me?
No, I can't.
Just be over here on the show.
But that's the only way we can show the chat to. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into some listener feedback here. As always, throughout the summer, if you have some thoughts you want to send us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com. The Twitter's @LegendsofGotham. The Facebook is facebook.com/LegendsofGotham. And the voicemail number, which we almost always play, is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And as usual, we will start with Bobbert.
Bobbert!
Hey, Bill and Amory, it's Bobby. For the most part, I thought Monday's episode of Gotham was a pretty good episode. I thought Jim did a good job of, I mean, I thought they did a good job of having Jim have to choose the lesser of all evils to keep some sort of modicum of order. I love Bullock playing the reluctant hero. I thought the whole gang war thing played out pretty nicely. I had a feeling that Butch would have something to do with taking out Fish, so I liked how that played out, although I'm sort of upset that they more or less didn't really finish off Fish, because Fish can survive in water. It was very cool to see Penguin shout, I'm the king of Gotham. I thought it was even a cool moment when Fish took out Sal, I can't remember his last name, Maroni. But how do you explain that he's still around, or Maroni's still around in the future? I'm just telling myself maybe it's his kid. But at the same time, I'm just done telling myself this is, you know, like, worrying about what's going on in other mediums with this show, because with what's gone on with Barbara, they obviously aren't sticking to any kind of canon. Because after what happened this week with Barbara, I'm asking myself, how the hell can she still be Batman's mother? The whole episode, I was asking myself, why the hell are you doing that? And that was one of my biggest... Okay. I guess I'm going to go ahead and start talking about flaws of the episode.
Okay.
Actually, let me just start by saying, you know, like I said before, it was a pretty good episode, but not a great finale. I don't really feel like it set up anything going, you know, like to hook us at going into season two. You know, I mean, there's some plot lines that, you know, I would like to see what happened, but if there's no real cliffhanger, no real sense of what's going to happen in season two. That being said, some of the problems I had were, like, I feel like there was an episode missing, because, like, all of a sudden Fish just came out of the water. You know, came up in a boat.
Very much agreed.
Yes. Yeah.
It feels like there should have been more connective tissue here. Like, maybe if nothing else, we should have got a flash to Fish in the last episode or two.
Mm-hmm.
I was
gonna say, that's a cut scene that shouldn't have been cut.
Thing we saw was, like, two episodes ago, her being shot in the gut, and now all of a sudden she's just okay. No, you know, hey, this is what happened. How's the other guy that wasn't even able to walk? Now he's walking. All of that felt like there was just something missing. And then the whole thing with Barbara, although I kind of like the whole villain route, I guess she's going. Why the hell would Lee... Okay, why is Lee able to administer psychology, you know, be a counselor or whatever? She's a doctor, not a doctor. Other than that, why the hell would she go to Barbara's house? That doesn't even make any sense. The whole thing, you're just like that person in the movie theater saying, don't go around that corner. So, like I said, the whole thing just really didn't make a whole ton of sense to me. Although, again, I do, one of my favorite things was the whole scene with the Riddler, or Enigma, or whatever we're calling him. So, those glaring
Riddleman
plot points aside, like I said, I liked the episode. I just didn't feel like it lived up to season finale status. Oh, and how can I leave this voicemail without talking about, like, Batcave? Bruce found the Batcave. And I thought it was great, that whole little he was actually a detective. He deduced, you know, the word stoic and all that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is something that I wrote in my notes that I meant to put in that I didn't.
All right,
this,
share with the group.
Young Bruce Wayne in Gotham is a better detective than any movie Batman ever. That's all I'm going to say. Because the movie...
We have not seen Batfleck yet.
Well, the movie Batmans historically are just not detectives. They're fighters. And maybe they're strategizers.
Okay.
But they're not detectives. Bruce Wayne is already way better a detective than Christian Bale or Michael Keaton or Val Kilmer. Well, definitely Val Kilmer.
It almost felt like Adam West talking to Burt Ward. So out of 347 books strewn about the library, I'll give it 305.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Okay, we have a letter from Sharon here. You want to read it?
Sure. Okay. It's obvious that Barbara's arc was planned. Gotham had a preview video called Aftermath, where Aaron Richards said that Barb had been changing her persona based on the people she was with. Renee, Jim, even Selina, really. And that her parents were overly controlling and gave her no love.
That's interesting. Like, I can kind of see that, though, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I overscrolled. She's been meant to be unlikable because she hasn't been herself. She's trying personas out until the ogre finally gave her the spark. Mm. Kind of like Ed and Miss Kringle. Forgot to mention my overall opinion. Yeah, it was crazy.
I will say that I do see a lot of parallels between Kringle and Barbara, for sure.
Very interesting. Loved Jim, Falcone, and Harvey. Loved Lee and Psycho Barbara. Loved Fish and Butch. Loved Nigma and Kringle. And music during the fireplace reveal. I just wish that the promo people hadn't spoiled the reveal for weeks. Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of like, no, don't put the moment from the moment.
Unless you're going to
cliffhanger for the season break on the commercial.
Right. Well, by doing that, they made us think that more was coming and more wasn't coming. All we did was go around a corner. Didn't love Selena. I think that she's been affected much more than she said by killing Reggie, but I think that there must be a deleted scene, as a few weeks ago there were promo shots of her on Barbara's roof with the dress balled up on a hand post ball. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see those special features and see what kind of got left on the cutting room floor and everything. Yeah, and I'm sorry, some people seem like they might be having some trouble like dropping out of chat or something. Apologies.
Yeah.
It's been a little messy, a little past like two or three times we've done a broadcast. Next up is a Joel from Portland on this very long episode of Legends of Gotham, but that's fine because it's the finale.
It's the finale.
Right? We're so excited.
Yay!
Joel.
Hey, Bill and Emery.
Hey,
Joel from Portland, Oregon. I just got done watching the episode for a second time, and I still can't figure out who got the knife out to cut everyone down when they're hanging. I know that Falcone said he had it in his sock, but I can't remember who cut them loose.
It was Harvey.
I'd like to think it was Kat, but probably not. Anyways, really good episode. I love to see the slow motion shoot 'em up scenes with Jim. Walk around with an AR. He looked pretty BA. I enjoyed seeing Fish finally meet her demise, but, I mean, in this world, what happens when somebody gets shot and falls in the water? I don't know. I know that she said she's done with the show, but that's not for a way for somebody to die. That's an excuse for them to come back, so maybe we'll see her another season. But anyways,
maybe she'll come back with her husband, who's playing another DC villain in tow. That'd be nice.
Glad to see it. The Penguin finally
won't happen.
He got his, chance to be in the limelight for a little bit until next season starts up. Anyways, really excited to hear you guys' feedback. Talk to you later.
You should have edited that at least.
No, I don't edit these. What are you talking about? But no, thank you very much, Joel. And also, thank you for being in the chat room tonight.
Absolutely.
Always good times. Okay, let's see here. Elizabeth, we put out the question, what was your favorite scene from the finale of Gotham? What do you think was missing? And Elizabeth responded, I'll tell you what was missing in under 140 characters. Renee Montoya, Detective Badass. 11 episodes devoid.
Inappropriate. I'm
gonna light a flame for a minute. Renee Montoya. Wow. Okay, next up is Michael. Take it away, Michael.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie, it's Michael.
Hello,
I just
Michael.
Watched the finale yesterday, and that was pretty good. There's a lot of stuff that happened that a lot of us were pretty much expecting, like Penguin killing Fish.
I will say, Bridget in the chat room, this is a really good question. I need to start reading some more comic books. What's good to start out with? If you like Gotham, Gotham Central would be a good one. I would also say Jeff Johns' Batman Earth 1, Volume 1 would be a good one. Sorry, Michael. We'll go ahead and restart you because I interrupted you.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie, it's Michael. I just watched the finale yesterday, and that was pretty good. There's a lot of stuff that happened that a lot of us were pretty much expecting, like Penguin killing Fish. Although I wasn't expecting him to push her off of a building. I really liked the whole confrontation between those two and Butch. To me, it really makes sense that being forced to choose between the two of them, he would have had to have shot both of them. And also that it would really take shooting Fish, the woman he was so dedicated to serving for most of the show, to break the hold that Zaz had over his mind. Although I kind of half expected him to push Penguin over the edge as well, especially how when he climbed up there like an idiot at the end with an enemy at his back and said, I'm the king of Gotham. Bruce finding the Batcave, that was pretty...
Yeah, well, for Penguin, a character known for his strategy, not the most strategic decision, especially considering he has an injured leg.
Yeah, like, he's shot.
You shouldn't stand on a roof, Penguin.
Pretty awesome, although it was a bit underwhelming since we knew it was going to happen from the previews for weeks now. And I think we all kind of assumed it would be the last scene, and it was, and there was very little added to that. Although, finding the opener in Marcus Aurelius was kind of a neat touch. So I was expecting a bit more than just what we got in the preview, but I guess a shot of them staring down in the tunnel will have to tide us over till next season. Also, speaking of next season, I'm really surprised at how quickly Ed is cracking. If I wasn't a listener of this podcast, I'd probably place pretty heavy odds on him being the next season's villain. But we know that's not going to happen, so how do you think they'll stretch that out? It's really happening fast, so...
I think it's going to be basically come down to the confrontation between him and Kringle, and him trying to sort all that out and put his past deeds behind him.
Keep him silent.
Yeah.
So how do you think they'll put him on the back burner till season 3?
We just told you.
What do you think about Falcone deciding to retire and saying, you know, that Law needs to take over now? Do you think that handing Gotham over to police, is that an abrupt transition for him or just evidence of good character development?
I think they've been building to that all season, because, I mean, he almost did that when Fish called him out on it, too.
I think he's wanted to retire.
Yeah, his heart's been leading him there, and it's just Fish's machinations have kind of been keeping him around, you know, with what's her name from earlier in the season, Liza, and everything.
I can't decide. But I think you can really see the seams, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you can really see the seams between the story that we got in this episode and episode 12 or 13, whichever one was supposed to be the original last episode. You can really see where the story was going to go with his decision to retire in that episode and the actual retirement here. So I think they actually carried that out pretty well. Also, Barbara killing her parents, I think we... at least I knew that was going to happen. I think a lot of us saw it from a mile off. Not that that's a criticism or anything. I loved it. But she isn't pregnant. And
I will say that we didn't see that.
We missed it.
But I think that's just because we just assumed that the ogre had done it.
Well, because you see him go towards them with a knife. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she didn't really... That would have almost made... That makes more sense now. Mm-hmm. Because when she looks at Jim, she's like, you're not supposed to be here.
We weren't expecting it, but we weren't surprised by it either.
Yeah, a little of that.
So how is Batgirl going to come about? So far as we know, she's not pregnant.
Batgirl begins.
But I'm feeling pretty good about her chances of going to Arkham and becoming a supervillain. But who knows? Maybe she'll reform. Jim will break up with Leslie and they'll get together. Who knows? Other than that, great episode. Really liked it. Really liked this whole season, other than a couple of weak points in the middle as a result of having to stretch the season out, especially the Dollmaker stuff with Fish.
Gag.
Probably could have been stuck in that whole story in one or two episodes. Mm-hmm. But I really liked it as a whole. Can't wait to hear what y'all think, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Let's see here. We had a note from Evan. Evan says, last night's show left me feeling a little half and half. I was entertained, but a little disappointed that they tried to tie up too much at once between the crime bosses. And Selina's character felt out of place for me teaming up with Fish Mooney, even for a temporary moment until her death.
I think it's just how they got her in the episode.
Yeah. She must have been like contractually obligated, or they just thought she would fit well with Fish's people, maybe. I don't know. We shall not see, because... we're not going to address that tonight. Rebecca, take it away.
What's up, Legends of Gotham?
What's up?
Rebecca Johnson, and holy...
Oh, by the way, we got to hang out with Rebecca this weekend for Free Comic Book Day. It was a blast.
Mm-hmm. Deep crap. That season finale was bonkers. People were not playing around in this episode. Mm-hmm. I knew Fish was going to kill Maroni because you could see her anger bubbling up inside her. So kudos to Jada for that, because that was some good acting. Mm-hmm. But I guess an RIP is in order for Fish. I know we saw the fish go back into the water, as it were, and Jada says she's not around for season 2, but is there any way she survives that fall? And speaking of surviving crazy fights, do you think Barbara is dead? Because
no.
I gotta admit, I laughed all the way through that fight she had with Leslie. Gotham did a better Soapy Cat fight this week than I've seen on The Young and the Restless in a long time. I mean,
I think she's dead, though.
I don't know.
We will agree to disagree.
When Barbara pulled out that big old knife, I lost it. I thought it was random that Kat decided she was just going to be one of Fish's lackeys. And while I thought the scene with Ed Nygma was good, the acting was very good and it was executed very well, the editing was great, but it just seemed to come out of nowhere in the episode. But other than those two little gripes I had, this was a really enjoyable season finale, and I'm excited to see what Bruce and Alfred find in that secret room at Wayne Manor. Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Hey.
Thank you very much. And yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, it felt like the Enigma thing was just sort of shoved in there because they had to.
Yeah, it kind of felt like they were just touching back on it just to give a little tease for
next
season.
They had to. There was too much that was set up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, Eve on Twitter says, the Gotham finale was completely nuts and fantastic. Loved every moment of it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm craving season 2 even more. Enigma, the wine's kicking in.
Yep.
Enigma's mental breakdown, Penguin's quite terrifying rise to power, and that last scene with Bruce were the highlights. To end, everyone pulled a funny face at each other. XD. With the smiley face thing. Yeah. Is Barbara going to Arkham?
Yes.
Maybe if she's alive.
She's
probably
alive.
If she's alive. Where's Montoya, Alan, and Zaz? They're playing Parcheesi together, would be my guess.
I don't even know how to play Parcheesi. I can't even like.
Yeah, what is Parcheesi?
I don't know.
Oh, bye, Joel.
Bye, Joel.
Got to get the kids to bed. Night.
I know that feeling.
Okay, and we're going to wrap things up here with a voicemail from a WTF Medic. Take it away.
What?
Also the Batman. You'll see.
Hey, guys. This is WTF Medic, also known as the Batman.
Oh.
Anyway, I love the show. I love the podcast. Last night's episode was crazy. I love the switcheroo that...
I forgot. This came in right after we finished our episode last week. So this is in reference to last week's episode.
The Penguin did with the gun. And I like the way they killed that guy. Right in the head. Boom. Goodbye. show's real good. Podcast is good. Keep up the good work, guys. Later. WTF Medic. The Batman.
That was fantastic.
Nice. I know. That was a great
one. Need you to call in every week. That was fun.
I hope so.
Yes.
Hope so. Good way to close out on. And if you want to call in or write in over the summer to talk about stuff, and Bobby's saying Barbara's alive. No, she's not. She might be.
Yes, she is.
LegendsofGotham@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @LegendsofGotham. The Facebook is Facebook.com/LegendsofGotham. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. Now, Anne-Marie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on the Twitters at AMDSimone.
And as
Bill's
for me,
gonna break his desk.
I can knock over jokers. You can find me online on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can find the books I write, or particularly this book, The Trials of King Sparrow. It's about a badass bird, kind of a fairy tale, too.
It's awesome.
bit.ly/King Sparrow. And I hope you check that out. It's only
Show it again. Yeah. He kind of looks like the Penguin when he's saying, I'm the King of Gotham.
Hold on. I can do this. I can go back and forth.
Can you do it? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And we want to thank everyone for coming out to the chat tonight.
Thank you guys so much. This was the best chat we've had yet.
Yeah, this is by far the biggest chat we've ever done on this show. So thank you guys so much. And we hope you stick around with us all summer and that you come back next fall. And we're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of giveaways, a lot of good stuff.
Send us any of your feedback and maybe we'll do a feedback episode that's all you guys and, you know, talking theories and whatever we're throwing out.
And we're doing a listener roundtable in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And then we're also going to do a podcasting roundtable with the Gotham TV podcast guys, and maybe Montoya and Alan
if they're
willing to talk about Gotham anymore. We'll see. Soon after that, once they're done with the show over in the UK. Okay, well, I guess that's about it. You know, we're wrapping up here.
Wrapping it up.
We want to give a special toast to y'all.
Toasts.
For coming out live.
Thank you so much. And for those of you who are not live, thank you as well.
Definitely.
Because we wouldn't be doing, well, we might be doing this without you, but it's more fun with you here.
22 episodes covered.
Check.
Season done. Until next time.
No. Wrong show.
Join us next time for more
Legends of Gotham. And then I'm doing the wrong theme music.
There's not going to be music. But not too moiky.
But not too moiky. It's just been awesome having you guys all here.
Morgan just said honk honk.
Yes! Honk honk!